You are listening to the Experience Points podcast for the week of March 13th, 2024. And Final Fantasy VIII rules! Eat my
Welcome back to the Experience Points podcast. My name is Scott Juster.
I'm George Alboy.
We are the co-creators of ExperiencePoints.net. It is a serious but not humorless conversation about video games. We still got Final Fantasy on the brain.
On the mind, yeah.
I mean, I'm going to have Final Fantasy on my hard drive for the better part of this year based off of the progress and the speed at which I'm making it. I don't know how you are.
Yeah, too real. Yeah, I've done like a couple of missions, I think, at this point. I was getting my ass handed to me by Wolf, and I was like, what the fuck am I doing wrong here? And then I like put in some thought and actually like took it on. But damn, yeah. It's a doozy.
But, you know, we're still making our way through Final Fantasy Rebirth. We're still, I'm researching all of the various things in the field, filling out my Chatopedia or whatever it's called. Yeah.
What do you think the next Final Fantasy is going to be called? Final Fantasy VII, it's got to be re-something. Remake, ooh, yeah. Rebirth.
This is like re-sequence. A Matrix Reloaded or something type of scenario.
Yeah, because it's Japan, right? So it could be like re-007/.5 to the heart, you know? Like,
I mean, this isn't Kingdom Hearts. Let's not get crazy.
Hey, Evangelion did it, you know?
It really is like... Rebirth is a pretty bold statement to make for the second in a series.
Yeah.
That sounds like a third, you know?
Well, I mean, I guess, like, the last game was the Inception, you know what I mean? Yes. Like, you thought it was something, it was actually something else. This is, it has been born now. Yeah. This is what it is. Now, I guess Coming of Age would be the sequel.
It has to be a re, though, you know? It has to be a re. You know, I don't know what they could do. It has to be, like, you know, Final Fantasy
Reorder?
Reformed or reordered, yeah, something like that.
Yeah, yeah. Returned?
Returned. Final Fantasy Return. I don't know. Naming and branding aside, Final Fantasy is all over the place these days. There's a couple Final Fantasy articles out there right now. One of them is just, we were looking at Kotaku and they did one of the classic, like, good-natured flame war posts of like, hey, these are the best Final Fantasy VII games ranked, which is always funny. There is a very funny thing about Final Fantasy VIII that we should talk about. And I think it ties into like which Final Fantasies you like the most and kind of what causes that. So anyway, I think we're going to probably do a little bit of, I want to know your favorite Final Fantasy as well. So we're going to do a little mini ranking of ours. We've probably talked about this before, but like it's a good time to revisit it. Ooh, Final Fantasy Revisited.
I could see that as a real contender.
We could be. I mean, anyway, we may have talked about a little bit about this before, but it's a good thing since it's top of mind and we're like in it, especially since Final Fantasy VII Remake Rebirth has changed my thinking a little bit about what made a good Final Fantasy game and what the future of that stuff looks like. So let's get in there.
I think it's interesting too that like the wake that Final Fantasy VII Remake leaves in its path, right? Yeah. So favorite Final Fantasy, if I genuinely had to say pick one.
You want to start with the showstopper? You want to start with your favorite period?
Oh, you want me to start? I mean, I can't name all 20 for sure. I can name some of the top ones if you want me to.
Here's a question. Have you played any of the pre Super Nintendo Final Fantasies?
I don't know which one was the first Super Nintendo one. Final Fantasy VI?
Final Fantasy
Four?
Four. And
I played Final Fantasy IV.
North America, that was Final Fantasy II.
In North America.
Yeah. When we were playing it, when we were in the 90s, when we were playing it, we were playing Final Fantasy II, but in Japan. I guess what we should just say, we should just,
I think we I'm already decide. Confused, Scott.
We should decide that we should use the Japanese numbering now that we've fully converted to Japanese numbering.
Yeah, yeah, I am fully Japanese at this point. So yeah, so when we were playing Final Fantasy IV, it was actually Final Fantasy II. Final Fantasy II was Final Fantasy IV, is what you're saying.
Correct.
They swapped.
Yeah.
I played Final Fantasy III,
which
is before that era.
Yeah.
I don't know if I played all of it, but I distinctly remember playing III.
Right.
I think I did some of this like pretty late too. Mm. Like I think I just dug out an NES and went to town, you know what I mean? Right. I think they released some of these too. Didn't they bundle them up like 2, 3, 4?
Yes, they've like released. That? Yeah, they've definitely kind of done remasters of them in the the past decade or so.
Yeah,
I don't think I've ever finished an NES Final Fantasy game.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think it's fine. I don't think any of them rank especially high, do they? Like the OG Final Fantasy Fantasy, maybe.
That's the thing. Like I'm pretty sure I started with Final Fantasy VI, and that was the Super Nintendo one. That was
really?
One with like Espers and all of that.
I started with Final Fantasy IV, 100%. I think I remember playing IV in that era.
I wish I had started there because like that had the job system in it and everything, right?
Yep. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
I feel like that would have been more understandable for me, like in retrospect.
Now that you have a job. Oh man, it is.
I should have been a red mage.
You made your poor career choice. You should have gone to bard school. Yeah. I mean, and again, a lot of these blend together, and the games of that era blend together, right? Like, when I think of my youth in the early to mid-90s, I think of, like, I probably don't think of a Final Fantasy game, to be honest, right. as one of my favorites.
Right.
I think of, like, I don't know, well, some of the Lunar games that came out in that time period, or, like, some of the older RPGs.
Right.
That I loved. There's that one, I forget what it's called. Something with a gun. There's like a cowboy dude in it. That was cool. Hmm. So yeah, none of the early Final Fantasies really ring true to me, except for Final Fantasy VI. I probably couldn't walk you through the events of that game, but when I hear and say those words aloud, it feels good.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Final Fantasy VI... I mean, I feel like that one is definitely a top contender for me for my favorite because, so here's my theory, and it's kind of like it's the same theory as like Mario Kart. It's like whichever one you played first, that's your favorite.
Yeah. Oh, like, yeah, I feel that way about the Soulsborne series.
Yes. So it's like whichever one you played first, you're disproportionately enthusiastic about that one. If not, it's just your straight up favorite. So Final Fantasy VI, that was, to me, that was formative because like it had that very beginning where you were in the mechs walking around the town, and it had that for, for a Super Nintendo, a pretty epic opening scene where it was like Mode 7. They were like walking through the snow and there was that huge kind of orchestral sounding soundtrack. And I'm like, whoa, like what kind of video game is this?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I just remember the open world map being like really cool. It felt so expansive in the time.
Yeah,
yeah. Yeah.
Well, and also then they do the kind of switcheroo halfway through the game where the enemy wins and then you have to deal with the ruined world.
Yeah, that's right. Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
That's very Chrono Trigger-esque too. Yeah,
it is. It was one of those games where it's like, wow, like they're really going for something here.
Yeah. Yeah, that one was cool. I think if I had to pick my favorite though, honestly, like even now... I might say Final Fantasy VIII.
Well, do we have a website for you?
Yeah, so there was an article where they... it wasn't Kotaku, was it? It was Polygon,
yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. They have an article called Final Fantasy VIII is the best Area Man claims, which is great. they talked to this guy, Phil Salvador. This guy made a website, I guess this year,
yes.
That has garnered some attention.
FF8 is the dot best.
Yes, and one of the top posts is FF8 is the best. Eat my ass. But you know, as tongue in cheek as it is, and there's a conversation like that he has in here. It's actually a really interesting website and discussion with him on Polygon. And I'd encourage anybody listening to read it because he's coming at this from the perspective of like, he genuinely loves Final Fantasy VIII, and he's kind of taking the piss a bit in order to garner. Like outlandish attention, right? But in a way, it's kind of needed so many years later because so many of us have written it off, right? Yeah. I think he works for the Video Game History Foundation. Yep. Yeah, he's the library director there. And it's interesting because he looks back.
What a job, by the way.
So cool.
Speaking about career regret, what a man. Amazing.
Something tells me this man is a fucking nerd.
Yeah. and all I'm the best jealous.
Way. Yeah, so jealous. So this guy, he looked at the historical documents, right? Like the articles that were out at the time and talked a little bit about how, look, Final Fantasy VIII at the time received pretty widespread praise, right? Yeah. And he actually, half blames the poor reception today to the game based upon like a single YouTube video that was really popular and did the rounds and got spread. That kind of soured our perspective on the game. And his attempt with the website in a tongue-in-cheek way is to re-examine Final Fantasy VIII, dive quite deep into the elements that he genuinely likes, and kind of find new perspectives through that revisitation. And it's a really admirable and cool act. And in many ways, we've done it ourselves, right? Like when we played Chrono Trigger or Earthbound or Final Fantasy VII, right? Like there's a lot of value in revisiting these older games. But it's also so interesting to me the way that like our memories of what something can be can shift.
Right.
In my mind, Final Fantasy VII was this amazing touchstone, right?
Yep.
But I listened to our podcast about it, and both you and I, at the end of the day, decided, yes, the game is super interesting, but a lot of the best aspects of the game we brought to the table, right?
Yeah.
Like we inferred, we created stories in our own mind. We probably shared those stories on the schoolyard, and that's what made the game become what it was in our memory, right? Mm. Like, that's why it holds... Yes, it was evocative. Yes, there's compelling themes. But in terms of the actual experience, so much of that is what we brought to the table.
Yep.
And when I think back to Final Fantasy VIII, I realize in retrospect, that's probably the case for that game as well, right? But to me, it meant something at the time, right? Like one of the things I love about Final Fantasy VIII, besides it, I think the world is super evocative. I like the magic system. I love the idea that you have to take magic from creatures out in the world, despite mm-hmm. how tedious it can become.
Yeah.
I love that it is a story that is about angsty, shitty kids that were dealt a fucking bad hand and kind of had to figure their shit out, right? And like found each other. And yes, I know that Squall is edgy and kind of a dick, but like he was an orphan, you know what I mean? Like he got dealt a bad hand. And I don't know, something about that story rang really true to me and even to this day, and I think back on those experiences, that experience of like overcoming that, striking back at the people, what is her name? Altamisha, I think is her name or something, the villain of the game.
Wizard.
And like, and like the role that she played in shaping those kids to be what they are. It's like a fucked up dark version of Harry Potter, right? Where like Dumbledore is the bad guy. Like there's something really fascinating to me about that experience, and it's dark and upsetting. And I don't know, like I just really love that. I love that experience. I also think that Salvador does a great job on his website, actually, about talking about how, in many ways, this game was a love story. And if you see it in that way and you just kind of change a little bit your thinking, I think it works really, really well, right?
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Even looking at some of the scenes that he has like gifts of like the dance in the Waltz for the Moon scene, or when Squall is carrying Rinoa like across the train tracks, like these images, like to me, are like instantly evocative, right? He mentions a space sequence. There's like a scene where they go out in space.
And, I had forgotten about that.
But like, how cool is that? I love that moment, man. Like, I remember feeling so many emotions playing Final Fantasy VIII, and I don't know. Part of me wants to revisit it. I'm a little bit scared because I fear it will be the same Final Fantasy thing, where. Yeah. There's no going home again. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like you'll see that you brought so much to it, but I honestly found this silly little website inspiring because it made me want to revisit this classic game and re-give it some consideration. And, especially playing Final Fantasy VII, where we had our feelings, playing the remake, where suddenly it almost feels like the remake is validating Final Fantasy VII for being something it wasn't actually, right?
Yeah, or like, it was trying to be.
Yeah, like, you know... There are take a character like Yuffie, right? Where like the rebirth fills out her character a lot more than the original game, right? Or the relationship between Aerith and Tifa. Like there's just new content in Remake that is filling in some of the gaps that we filled in ourselves in our heads when playing Final Fantasy VII.
Yeah.
You know? And I think that's coloring the legacy of the game. And one of the reasons I'm glad it's taking it to new places is because it kind of stands off as its own thing. But it's just interesting to me that, like, as time goes by, these older titles sway and change and sort of sink and rise based upon the times, right? Like, yeah. What we find interesting or fascinating. We go back to Chrono Trigger, I think, time and again, because that's one of the few games that seems to just never sink. Like, it's because so few games, yeah. It almost feels like it stands on its own. The legacy of it isn't really affected or touched by sort of modern titles, whereas I think so many of these other Final Fantasy games are. Yeah. So it's a bit of a ramble, but I think that's why I think Final Fantasy VIII is... that's why Final Fantasy VIII is rad, eat my ass.
I mean, I think looking back on it, especially with all the subsequent Final Fantasy games that came out, it still has a pretty unique aesthetic where it's I think Final Fantasy VIII has a pretty unique aesthetic in terms of, like, it goes a little bit further into, it's like the people are super realistic, but the environments are fantastical. And not fantastical in a, like, medieval faux castle way. Like, hey, this is a floating building sort of way.
Yeah, It's very, like, almost like a, like, gothic sci-fi or something. You know?
Yeah, there's definitely a style to it that I feel like, in some ways, I think Final Fantasy VI and VII started because they started mixing the, like, magic and technology aesthetic. But this was more of a sci-fi aesthetic, not a fantasy one, which was still pretty unique, I think, even to this day.
Yeah, totally. Totally.
Let me throw one out there that I like a lot. I might categorize this one as my favorite just because of the mechanics, but I think Final Fantasy IX is is really good. I feel like I'm alone in that.
I'm going to let you be alone for a little bit. I think Final Fantasy IX is good. I think so. Kotaku's list has it at number 8.
Yeah.
I think that's pretty spot on. That's where I would put Final Fantasy IX. You're right. I think mechanically it's great. I revisited Final Fantasy IX, I don't know, like a decade ago.
Yeah.
I think they did, like, a re-release.
Yes.
But man, there's something about the aesthetic and the world and, like, the themes of that just feels so weird. Like, it just feels like it's for a different audience than all the other Final Fantasy games. It was a weird one.
Like, especially coming off the heels of 8. It's extremely strange. And then sandwiched between 8 and 10, like, for me, like, the lineage of 8 feels very apparent in 10.
Yeah.
And then in the middle, you have Final Fantasy IX, which goes back to, like, stylized characters, you know, very kind of mechanically dense systems, you know, like, different, like, there's a front row and a back row. Like, that tells you everything you need to know, where it's like, oh, shit, we're going all the way back here. Like, we're going back to, like, the, you know, front row, back row, different jobs, you know, different, like, alignment of magic to different characters. Like, it feels like Final Fantasy has gotten, especially with Final Fantasy VII, they genericized the characters. Like, you could basically build out any character as your magic user if you wanted to.
Yeah.
And then Final Fantasy VIII did a similar thing with all the summons and everything. And then Final Fantasy IX takes this, like, crazy sharp left turn back to, like, a strict mechanical presentation of the systems. And then we kind of swoop back to 10, and it's like, nah, actually, we're just going to figure it out the other way, like how we were going. But I think there's something about the world in 9. Like, I really do like that. And again, they swung back to the, like, kind of fantasy aesthetic, not the sci-fi aesthetic. I remember enjoying it quite a bit combined with the systems that were in place. I haven't revisited it for many, many years. Maybe it's time to do it now that they put out some remakes, and it's the same quality of life stuff that they did with the Final Fantasy VII and VIII remakes. So it probably moves a little faster now.
Maybe we're due another Final Fantasy multi-part debrief on the podcast.
Maybe. I mean, even if we do that, I would probably be more interested in 8, honestly, because I feel like 8 to me is more.
Oh, you've been getting my letters then.
Well, I mean, it's just 8 is so, like, it's, I don't know, it's become divisive, you know, and I feel like over the years, it's more and more, like, the people who love it really love it. The people that criticize it go even harder on it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I want to go back to 9 real quick, because 9 is one of those games where, you know, kind of like the way that we talk about films that have a unique aesthetic that enable it to not date itself.
Yeah.
I think that's something, that's a really big strong suit of Final Fantasy IX.
Yes.
A lot of these Final Fantasy games blend together in my mind, right?
Yeah.
Moments from one, moments from the other, even modern ones like Final Fantasy 15 and 16, like, which one is the dude with like the boys in the car having a good time? Like, right. You know, there's very little that stands out, right?
Yeah.
Final Fantasy IX fucking stands out. Yeah. I remember the wedding scene. I remember the heroic rescue with the blimp.
Yep.
I remember, you know, Vivi's honestly like really effective and moving story. I think he's like lives a year or something like that, right? Like his lifespan is super short. Spoiler alert for Final Fantasy IX, which came out a million years ago. I don't think that game aged well in the first few hours when I tried to give it another shot.
Right.
But I do think that there are elements to that stand the tests of time.
Mm.
But one of the things that I think is interesting about the Final Fantasy VIII revisit idea too is these games are quite long. And sometimes the stories don't really mature until you are a dozen hours in, right? Like even Final Fantasy VIII, like some of that content about you know, them losing their memory isn't really clear until pretty deep in the game.
Yep.
You know, that they've lived these other lives and have like known each other, right?
Yeah.
Like, so unless we are able to revisit for a long extended period of time, if you forget those elements that sort of drove that interest, it's really challenging to place it correctly in your mind of like, okay, well, what was the good out of these games?
Right.
I think Final Fantasy VIII, you're right, it's divisive. I think the website is super interesting. Final Fantasy IX, my guess is it's probably the same. Like, there's probably really good stuff in Final Fantasy IX. It's just that it was so jarring because we went from this sort of more grungy, sort of dark aesthetic, edgelord characters with big-ass sword guns, you know what I mean? Like, with the cool leather jackets and stuff, into Zidane, who's like a little boy with a tail, you know what I mean? It feels more like a Jim Henson film. And so I think when we think back to it, we go, oh, that's the one with the weird little halfling people.
Yes.
Right. Rather than, oh, that's the one with the really touching story about the mage.
Yes.
You know,
well, and even like you're right, like even the proportions of the characters were like a callback to the Super Nintendo and NES games of like, you know, the disproportionate body sizes and all that stuff.
You know, you see people revisit cinema all the time. You'll watch an old movie like Night of the Hunter, right? Which is like an old 50s film that I watched, I don't know, like a year or so ago, right? Like people who are younger revisit older cinema and are wowed, right? They're like, holy shit, like this is a different way of doing things. I haven't seen this on film before, or I can learn so much by revisiting these classic films. They're maybe even more modern than I had ever given them credit
yes.
for. But man, it is way easier to rewatch an old movie in an hour than it is to replay Final Fantasy IX in 40 hours, 60 hours. Like, it just, you just can't do that. And so many of these games, and not just Final Fantasy, right? Like, a lot of historical games are just relegated to like the sands of time, you know?
Including
Prince of Persia, the sands of time.
I mean, honestly, like even that, like, but I think that's why it was those Digital Eclipse game/documentary titles, the Atari collection that they did, and then the
Karateka.
I would be really interested to have a treatment of some of these longer games like that, where you could play the whole game, but maybe they chunk it up in that, like,
play the snippets.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Here's the opera scene of Final Fantasy VI or something like that.
Yeah. That would be really neat, actually, is to get like, like a Cliff Notes version, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that would be really neat. But again, it's just so impossible. And we're in this era now where they'd rather just give you a whole remake rather than give you the opportunity to, like, quote-unquote boss run it. You know what I mean?
Rather spend $100 million making this game than ask the boys at Digital Eclipse to do a museum piece of the original.
Yeah, it's just like we're set to have... It's so interesting to me because we want to tap into nostalgia, but we don't genuinely want to revisit it.
Yeah.
And I think part of that's justified. Like I said, I think it doesn't age very well. I think Final Fantasy VII is a good example of that. Right. But I don't know. It just makes it harder to understand how one story leads into the next, right? Like, what the true legacy is of that, right? Like, and honestly, that's where you have to fall back on history books or literature, right? Like, I don't think anyone's done, the boss fight books on... Maybe they did one of the Final Fantasies.
That would be really cool if they did that.
Yeah, like an extended series. Like, you know, you need something deeper about that. I mean, whatever. Video game archiving and history has been a bugaboo for a while, but it's just interesting now, I think, in the era of remakes, where I genuinely think the remakes and Rebirth are going to color how people perceive Final Fantasy VII forever.
Yes.
Without Final Fantasy VII doing anything different. Like, I think people will... think about those games differently. I think they're going to think that they were far more forward-thinking than they actually were.
Right.
Mechanically
speaking, for the wrong reasons, too. Like, they'll miss the point where it's like, oh, like, I don't know, something about Final Fantasy VII. I'm appreciating different aspects of Final Fantasy VII original now that I'm playing the remakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, I'm not appreciating the, like, oh, my God, what a crazy cutscene. I'm more appreciating, like, they tried to do this story in engine with like just dialogue button throughs, which is like way more bold than I gave it credit for, like in the day, because now I'm watching an extremely high fidelity version of that. And it's still barely pulling it off. And like, they had the gall to do that with, you know, characters that were made out of, you know, less than 100 polygons or whatever.
Yeah, for sure.
Are there any Final Fantasies on this list that are like highly ranked that you want to like throw shade on?
Final Fantasy XII, I think that game is absolutely unforgettable. I don't know why anybody would have this. Number three.
Maybe it's a Final Fantasy IX thing where maybe mechanically it's amazing, but gun to my head, I could not tell you anything about Final Fantasy XII.
Oh, no, not at all. They have Final Fantasy X as number seven. So like, okay, I'm going to say my top three. It'd probably be Final Fantasy VIII, Final Fantasy VI, Final Fantasy X, and then like Final Fantasy VII.
Okay.
But Final Fantasy X, I think, is significantly better than VI. And again, like, I think that's another one that was controversial. And again, I think X2 negatively colored our memory of X in a way. But I think that game was actually really good and deserves to, I mean, whatever. VII is high in their list of 20 Final Fantasy games, but I don't know. I think the game should be higher. That one was a big one for me.
I don't feel like I've ever finished 10. Like, I remember...
It's worth it, honestly, yeah. I mean, I'm just a sucker for stories about, like, kids fucking fighting back. Like, being dealt a shitty hand and fighting back. You know, it's why, like, the Persona series works so well for me. And I love Final Fantasy... Persona 5, right? But, like, at the end of the day, the main character of Final Fantasy X has to fight, like, a giant amorphous version of his dad. Like, it's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, I that game goes that. Places.
I feel like I've gotten far enough to realize that huge demon thing was Zidane's dad or whatever. But now I was like, oof. Yeah. There's some metaphors going on here.
Yeah, for real. I think they have Final Fantasy X2 as number six. That's crazy to me.
I don't even know anything about that game other than that was the kind of like post 10, like the female characters kind of banded together and formed some sort of fighting / dance troupe.
That's the issue. It's like, it's one of those things where I don't dislike the game because it had female leads. I loved all those female characters. They were fucking great. Like, awesome. Sign me up. Yeah. But them being like a K-pop trio is so fucking weird. And it's like a fundamental part of that story. I don't know. I'll never be into it. But I will say there is a couple of touching scenes that kind of like retconned and tried to change some things from Final Fantasy X, but there are some touching scenes. Again, I think a strong suit of the Final Fantasy games match the strong suit of Persona when the characters work, right? Which is to say, you want to be with them. You want to hang out with them. You know what I mean? And being able to hang out with them again is moving.
It is.
And the fact that the main character dies at the end in Final Fantasy, again, spoilers for Final Fantasy X, he dies, right? Like, question mark with X2, but he dies. And I think that's a really moving moment when you've spent so much time with these characters.
Are there any on this list that... This list started me thinking why Final Fantasy VII? Why is this the one that gets the three-part remake versus 6, which is incredibly well-regarded, 10, which is, I feel like, kind of, in many ways, 10 set the template for, like, the modern version of these types of games. Like, what is it? And could we have something like Final Fantasy VIII Rebirth exist, or is there something about 7 that's unique?
Well, I think there's a couple of things. I think within the context of JRPGs of the time, I think it's a pretty daring experience, right? Like, we talked about it on our debrief
right.
for Final Fantasy VII.
But there's snowboarding in that game.
Well, yeah, but like starting in media res,
yeah,
in Midgar,
yeah,
this industrial dark yep. place where your main character is a very reluctant brigand more than a hero. You know what I mean? Like, it just felt very different than any of the preceding Final Fantasies. I think the world building is really strong. Like, right off the bat, you're just like, whoa, okay, like, I want to know more about this place.
Right.
You know? But I also think we were of the age, right? Like, 1997, I was, I was 84, so it was like, you know, I was 13, 12, you know, at the time. Like, this game landed at that spot where you are exploring more mature stories.
Yeah.
Right. And this invited you into that in an interesting way. Right. Aerith's death, like all that kind of stuff, just really stuck with me at the time. If I played it today, having never played any other Final Fantasy VII game, I don't think it would resonate in the same way. And so I think Rebirth and Remake exists within the cadence of like normal millennial nostalgia bait in a way, right? Like, it's it did some amazing things that, as you and I discussed, we brought to the table and stuck with us as a result of the time and place and age that we were at the time of release.
Right.
Final Fantasy VIII just isn't, you know, didn't hit that right time, you know, to deliver on that.
There's probably also
I mean, it's only a couple years later, but like,
1999
and 1997 were two very different years, I think, at least from my perspective.
That's fair. Well, and also the previous Final Fantasy game had been before 7, the previous Final Fantasy game was on the Super Nintendo and had a very different style and feel. And there was also just a technological leap that happened. And it probably, you know, thinking about Super Mario World and Super Mario 64. You know, it was that sort of like, whoa, this is like a different way of conceiving this series. Whereas 8 didn't have that benefit of like being such a stark break from the last one.
Yeah. Yeah.
There's so much lore though around 7. Like, I feel like part of it is the whole era thing. And I don't know if you caught this, but like at the very beginning of Rebirth, when alternate reality timeline Zack is holding alternate reality timeline Aerith and it seems like she's dead, her hairpin falls out and it's the same fallout of like when Sephiroth kills her or whatever. And I'm like, man, like that scene itself is burned into my brain. And so like, there's just so much like, it's like, I don't know. There's just so many, like, it's like reading Shakespeare or something where you're like, oh, that's where that phrase comes from. It's like, there's so many callbacks to like the in-game lore of that stuff.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah. And it builds itself more and more, right? Because it becomes a pop culture thing.
Right.
Like on the schoolyard, we talk about it.
It feeds on itself.
It feeds on itself. It grows into what it is, you know?
Yeah. I don't know. Even though it might not be my favorite, like I'm hard pressed to say like, oh yeah, you could have done that with Final Fantasy IX or Final Fantasy VI or, you know, any of the other ones that I like the best. Like for whatever reason, you know, probably partially nostalgia, partially technology.
Yeah.
You know, the lore didn't build up around it. And now there's so much shorthand that the game can now play with, you know, there's just more fodder for it to do stuff with.
And again, like, I don't really mean nostalgia in a derogatory way, right? Like, this isn't like Hollywood's regurgitation of, you know, let's do the Lion King in live action and tap into nostalgia in that way. Right. Like when we were discussing Final Fantasy VII carrying so much sort of emotional weight because we brought elements to the story.
Yeah.
That's fine. Like, we all bring elements to every story, be it a book, a movie, or a video game. And those can be important and valuable as we take them with us later in life, right? Like, so I still think there's a lot of value there in sort of revisiting it. I mean, that's what's so exciting again about Remake and Rebirth. It's just one of those things where I'm like, what's so exciting to me is that we're doing something different, but I'm also concerned that in doing so, we potentially kind of lock Final Fantasy VII into the mold. Like, it will never be what it actually was. It will only be what we remember it being, which is now forever colored by the remake.
Yeah.
You know?
Right.
Like, I don't even necessarily think that many people realize that so much of the connections between these characters in Remake and Rebirth were not in the original game, right?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of the dialogue just was not in those games.
Right. They fleshed out those relationships more.
Yeah. And so, you know, and just experientially, like, you know, higher fidelity and like what you're at. I mean, say what you will about some of early Rebirth stuff, like not working for me, but
right.
I still think that there's a lot of value that they added. And my concern is that we'll just assume that Final Fantasy VII was kind of always that way, when I don't think it was. And I think it's important to remember some of these games for what they actually were and our role in making them successful, sort of making them bigger than they are, you know?
Yeah. I mean, all this suggests to me is that we need to create a, you know, mid to late 2000s style website like this, like Salvador, around the real Final Fantasy VII.
I would love to see competitor websites like Eat My Ass Final Fantasy VI rules, Eat My Ass Final Fantasy IV rules, Eat My Ass Final Fantasy III, Eat My Ass The Bouncer Rocks.
Visit my website at gold.saucer. I mean, it's now that there's been so many of these, and in a weirdly, they're, with the rare exception of things like 10-2, they are all quite different from each other and only connected by, you know, themes and systems versus explicit characters. There is actually a lot of discussion to be had around, like, why some of them get remembered so strongly or fondly and why others are more obscure. So, like, it's cool to, like, to think about that again in the context of remaking, like, what has become a legendary game. And it's almost, to your point, it's almost like at this point, you can't separate it from, was it legendary because it was truly legendary, or have we built this legend around it and kind of willed it into existence? And it's like, we're too far down the line. It's already happened. And so now we just have to, like, kind of figure out how they relate to each other.
Yep. Agreed. One more call out before we end. I think Lightning from Final Fantasy 13 and 13-2, I guess, technically, rules. I think she's a badass character. And actually, I liked those games.
I like those games, too. Like, they were very different in terms of, like, the pacing and everything. But, like, I feel like I remember Lightning more than I remember the game.
I mean, Lightning is cool. I remember certain worlds and stuff. If you remember way back at the time, there was, like, a controversial article. Because I think this was 2009. Were we still... I don't know if we were doing the podcast yet, but maybe we were like, I guess we were, right?
Yeah.
So in critical circles at the time, there was an article that made the rounds that was like, hey, actually Final Fantasy 13 is good, but it's not good until 20 hours in when the world opens up.
Yes. Yeah, I remember that.
And it kicked off this huge critical conversation amongst the games critic community at the time and the blogosphere, which doesn't really exist in the same way at all.
If only.
Today as it did then. Man, what a heady days. great times. Yeah. But those conversations are fascinating because there was a big contingent of people who were like, I should not have to play 20 hours for your game to be good. And then there were other people who were like, don't criticize the game for being what it is. And you didn't even fully experience it as the auteur intended, right?
Yeah.
And there was this sort of spat going on. And I think that conversation spiraled out of control to be a lot more about game generally. And design and consumers, and did what a lot of games blogging did in the time, which was go up its own ass and spiral out of control, right? But I think that's accurate, and I do think that revisiting Final Fantasy 13, just like we would want to visit Final Fantasy 8, could be valuable because I do think there's a lot of good there.
It would be cool if they. I would be down for some sort of. Kind of remaster of it where they, in the same way that they did for 7, 8, 9, of like
quality of life stuff.
Yeah, like, yeah, here's a way to, you know, speed through the battles, or like, you know, cut out some of the, you know, the encounters or whatever, but like keep all the content there, just like allow some of the streamlining to happen.
Yep, agreed. I think it'd be really cool.
Cool. All right. Well, we'll leave it there. We'll send our emails to Squaresoft and tempt them with their money. Experiencepoints@gmail.com is our email address.
And experiencepoints.net is the website. You can find us wherever you find podcasts. Do us a favor, leave us a review, and tell a friend.
All right. Until next time, everyone, and thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you next week.
Ciao.